Matt, you hear we have a new type of engineer out there.
Wait, what? We do?
Welcome to the Software Madhouse, where building software meets controlled chaos.
Welcome to the Software Madhouse. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Farina. I'm a developer, open source nerd, product development, speaker, author, all kinds of fun stuff. Been doing this for a while. And my co-host here is Mr. Robert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Matt, as I said earlier, we have a new type of engineer, and it's called an FDE or a forward deployed engineer.
Yes. So this was new to me in recent months. You know, I haven't paid attention to this a whole lot. I've heard the term in the past. So tell me a bit about it. You did a bunch of the research. What is this new thing?
So I'd never heard of it. I was reached out for a job. Someone asked me if I wanted to be an FDE. And I said, I don't even know what an FDE is. So I went on the deep dive. I brought up Grok. I brought up Claude. And I said, what is the forward deployed engineer? So the premise of what this is basically an FDE is a customer-facing engineer who is deployed at a customer site for a prescribed particular area of time.
So it's just kind of somebody who's on site with the customer?
Yeah, that's basically, you know, the premise.
So we've had lots of, you know, positions over time where somebody's on site with a customer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, premium support engineers, stuff like that. How is this different? Because if it's a new type of engineer and it's not this thing we've had before, whether you're talking consultants or something else, what's going on? What's behind this? What's different?
So when I first found this and I started researching it, I thought it was just a new type of consultant, right? We put some marketing around consulting and said, hey, we're going to call it something different. So the term, from what I understand, was coined by a company called Palantir, who are doing some great stuff in government space and even in civilian space. And what the premises of this is they're kind of leveraging the word, you know, forward basing, meaning a practice for militaries to establish an enduring presence in a foreign country, right? So it is kind of giving you as an organization to have a consistent presence in a company that you sold to. So if I am X software company and you're the ABC company who just bought our software, I might write into that contract an FDE to kind of help things become a little more sticky, kind of keep us top of mind, keep us in the conversations, you know, just kind of being there with, you know, with the customer, you know, through all walks of life, through their, you know, operations and what they're doing.
You know, working at, you know, vendors and stuff that have had consulting and things like that along the way, right? How is this different from some of the vendor consulting stuff that's out there, right? You sell a product, maybe get a premium support person who's in there to kind of help things along as part of your contract for a while. What's the difference there?
So from what I understand, and, you know, with the help of AI, the premise here is not just to make the software or the product that you sold a little more sticky, is to have almost a, you know, voice at the table for decisions that they're making inside that company as it pertains to your product and sometimes as it doesn't, right? So you're kind of becoming like, it's like putting a trusted advisor or an ambassador. I hate using that term, but using it like having an ambassador with a flagship customer.
Now, is that all they're doing is doing advising and looking for decisions? Or, you know, engineers a lot of times, right? They, you know, especially in the software space, they'll write code, they'll configure hardware, they'll get things set up optimally because an engineer at the end of the day is about solving a problem, right?
Yeah.
Are they there as an advisor or are they doing something else beyond that?
From what I understand, and I wish if you're an FDE and you're out there, please comment if we're getting any of this, you know, incorrectly. So put in the comments below, you know, what if we miss anything through this episode. But what I understand is it's they're writing code, they're helping with architecture, and they're helping to advise. So it's almost like you're hiring a like enterprise architect level individual, but it's really from a particular vendor that it's coming from. So an FDE is probably coming from a software vending company that really wants to have the ability to, you know, ensure that they're still relevant when the salespeople are not there, when the customer success manager is not there. Because if you think about that model, right, sales guys only having a conversation maybe once, twice a month. Customer success is probably once a week. This individual is there every day, but they're also contributing by writing code, you know, having technical deliverables within the environment.
So I can see where this makes sense, right? Because in a lot of sales cycles, you've got your sales, they'll sell a company a product, and then the company has to go stand up and use it. Maybe there's a consulting agreement to get started with it, but that's usually a short time thing, limited number of hours at the beginning to make sure everything stood up. And you may just be into your journey a little bit with that piece of software, never using it to its fullest intent. So is that part of with, you know, this forward deploy engineer, is they help them make full use of that software?
Correct. And they try to identify opportunities for the software to grow in the environment. Now, if you think about what a customer success manager does, it doesn't, that individual is supposed to make sure that the customer is successful with, you know, your particular software in this case, you know, for example, but they're not going to have intimate knowledge of like what's going on. But if you're a forward deployed engineer, you're in there delivering code. You have to know, you're starting to learn how the systems inside the customer works, right? So it feels like a consultant still, but the idea is to really grow the customer from the inside, from a product's perspective, right? Versus the customer service manager or customer success manager, excuse me, they're kind of on the outside. They don't know the ins and outs. They're not really delivering value. This person's designed to deliver value, but look at opportunities to expand from the inside, not the outside in.
So this is actually for a vendor or somebody, right? This is actually an amazing perspective because you've got boots on the ground, dealing with the frustrations of the product, making sure it integrates with everything else. And so you can see the opportunities and frustrations. Do these forward deploys engineers then, do they feed this back into the product development cycles?
Correct. So there is a, so from what I've extrapolated with Grok and stuff is that where customers are having use cases that, or there's potential opportunities to kind of shape the product, they're feeding that back almost lifetime to the product team saying, hey, we can expand on this particular account if we can meet these needs, because this other area over here could really, you know, leverage this going forward.
Okay. So it kind of helps that product burrow more into the customers, but at the same time improves product overall.
Yeah. When I first read about it and I'm starting, and again, I've never heard about it. So when someone's asking if you want to go do this job, you know, and you've never heard about it, you go on a deep dive, and it was a pretty late dive with a bottle of wine trying to figure out what exactly what this is, and I was intrigued. But it feels almost like, if you remember the Pivotal Lab days, right, they had a prescriptive way of doing something. They sold their software, which, you know, based on open source, they sold that, and then they got a labs agreement, which was like 6 weeks, and it was just to get you started with the platform, move a workload or two on there, get it going. It feels a lot like that, right? But it's less prescriptive, and it's a long-term goal within there. So it kind of feels very labs-esque with getting someone started, but this is taking it to a whole nother level, because you could be, you know, in some instances I'm finding it, you can be an FDE at a customer for over a year and sometimes longer, where you're not really an employee of your company at this point. You've almost become an employee of the company that you're, you know, assigned into.
Okay. And you're writing code, architecting solutions, and making sure everything's set up to be a success, but while feeding all of the design ideas back into the company you ultimately work for, you know, whatever vendor or whatever you're at, in order to improve the product. Now, one of the things that I see here, right, putting on my product development hat, having done product for a long time, is a lot of times it's really hard to get valuable insight into how people use your products. It's one of those reasons, you know, companies are all into the hot topic that annoys some people, and that's telemetry, right? Companies love to get telemetry on what you're doing with the product in what ways in order to just try to get an inkling of insight, right? They do surveys, they do ask questions, they look for pain points, they go through all the issues customers file, looking for what's the right way to meet that need with it. If you've got a really competent person on site interacting with the customer and using and integrating with that stuff, that's probably a better way to get those insights that you can feed in to have a better long-term product, don't you think?
Yeah. So I guess the best way to kind of explain it, and I'm sure someone will comment on this, is telemetry is data and FDE is a value delivering information back to the company. Whereas telemetry will say they're using it. This is how much they're using it. This is how much they're not using it. Here, it's this is how they're using it, but this is why they're using it as well. And so it's actually creating tangible, you know, like actionable things with an FTE being kind of deployed within it. Now, it's very weird to use military terms in this, but, you know, the company that coined the term, it makes sense now. But I can see how companies, you know, vendor-like companies are saying, hey, you bought our software. Part of the package is we're going to give you an FTE for a year. Right. And they're learning that it helps grow a particular account from the inside, pushing out in tandem, working with that. Now, you're right. It does put information back to the product teams, but it feels more like a land and expand model, less than, you know, a product driven. I think it's just kind of a latent function versus the manifest function of growing that particular account.
Well, I wonder if it ends up being symbiotic, right? If you want to expand in an account, what does the customer ultimately need solved, right? What are their problems? Where are the rough spots? How can you expand? You actually need to know how to solve for those things to improve the product so it can expand in these accounts well. So in some ways, it feels almost symbiotic where, you know, the vendor improving helps make the customer more successful, which expands within there, but the customer ultimately becomes more successful, right?
And with the role actually having other tangible deliverables, like, hey, we're going to help you configure this. I'll help you move a workload to it or whatever it might be. I'll help you consume it. They're seeing value out of it, right? And so this person, they're seeing a lot of value because they're getting work done, right? And then a lot of times they don't really care that, you know, a lot of this information is going back to the account team, because in consulting, you were a consultant. I was a consultant. You know, when you're hearing that the new project and another team is kicking off, the first thing you do is call your consulting manager or the sales guy and say, hey, there's a new project. Are we going to be part of that? If not, you should go talk to so-and-so. And I see it like that. Now, what I found interesting about this role is that it comes with a lot of particular success with the adoption of software. And you know this as well as I do. When you sell software, someone has the grand idea to go buy your software, but they don't use it, or they don't use it to the best, to its full potential. Then some guy in procurement later goes, do we still use this? Do we still need it? And then all of a sudden, the next re-up, they're going, we really haven't adopted that.
Absolutely. It leads to that stickiness factor, right? It's sticky because it's used. It's sticky because it's needed. And so often you can sell software into an account and you're like, it's not getting uptake. Why isn't it getting uptake with these customers? But you're not in there to help them fully leverage it. And so this kind of overcomes that barrier. Nice.
So when I looked at like job profiles for this, and, you know, again, I had no idea this existed until I, you know, hit the job market. I've been on the job hunt. So I looking at, and a lot of times they want you to be specialized in the area of what you're doing. So we're looking at people who are former solution architects, former enterprise architects. These individuals are kind of key, but it's not just the technical skills, it's the soft skills. And I think when you see some of these job recs, they're putting those, you know, soft skills, those human skills above the technical, which is interesting because, you know, we have it in consulting, right? But you still need the smart guy, even if he doesn't have good soft skills. You kind of keep him in the corner. You go, you talk to him when you have to. With an FTE, it's not the case. They really are pushing those soft skills, because the idea is you have to work the human element out of it. So companies who are, especially even AI companies, this is where that human element is key, that AI is really not replacing, because you need to have, it can't replace that human interaction that this FTE is doing well embedded, for a lack of a better words, with their customers.
Okay. So the person, you know, there's lots of people out there who've got great technical skills these days. The system's building lots of computer science people, software developers who can go, you know, build some great software. Mm-hmm. But that human element is important. Now, that human element, is that, you know, being able to work with company leadership and the software developers on the ground? Because a lot of times you get very different temperaments between company's leadership and then the people who in the IT department implementing something, or the software developer writing integrations to something. Where do you need those soft skills?
So I'm glad you asked, because a lot of the job recs that I've seen so far, and I leverage AI to do this search. One of the top ones is having the ability to have an executive presence. And it's usually the skill that they're looking for the top. And that is kind of the number one. You have the human soft skills, but you can talk to the executive level, followed right up to be able to like switch hats, you know, similar to what you're able to do is, you know, you can switch hats, flip over, and now you can, you know, go talk to the engineers with credibility.
Okay. So you've got to be able to talk to the executives with credibility, help them understand how they can improve their outcomes and making decisions, and then switch over and talk to that software developer in the company who's integrating with your thing, and maybe nerd out with them on what they've got to do with APIs or whatever else.
Correct. Now, I don't know if this is really one of those consulting roles that's remote or you got to be in the office. I've seen job recs out there that have it going both ways. So if anyone knows, you know, if you're doing more time in the office, you know, the customer office versus remote or your own, you know, work office, I'm kind of curious on the mixture to that. But again, these individuals are, I'm going to be honest with you, it feels like companies are looking for these unicorns who can, you know, who have the soft skills and the technical chops to back it up and, you know, be able to deploy in there. Cause I mean, you and I, we know a lot of technical people who, you know, they don't have the soft skills that's, you know, almost number one on the list of what, you know, these job requests are looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it's not one of those things that's trained up. When I was going through college, it was get a special class on it to try to help people almost learn some of these skills. And I saw it rough, and it wasn't the strong suit of a lot of people. Now, people learn it over the years, but really being able to go from influencing software people to influencing executives is much more of a unicorn, as you put it.
Yeah. And you know, when we went through college, right, it was, you were either, you know, you were steeped into your discipline, right? So if you're going through software engineering, you're having a ton of software engineering classes. If you're on the business side, you have, and this feels like you're in a mixture of both, or, you know, your degree is like, you know, in business, but it's in computer information systems, where you are getting into the understanding of how business operates, how it works, you know, having to, you know, present, and a lot less on the technical side. From it. So I don't know, but it just seems like they're putting a heavier weight to that human individual behind it.
Okay. Interesting. Now, one of the things this feels a bit like, and what triggered in my mind was, you know, we interact, there's the systems integrators, the global systems integrators, you know, SIs, GSIs out there who have these relationships, right? Because this feels like it's a bit of we brought in a vendor, we're letting somebody run wild in our systems, right? Helping us be successful, influencing executives. This is a lot of times the partnerships that companies will have with the SIs and GSIs to help them make the decisions, have their programmers on staff to help them with their programming and other activities. It's kind of, you know, in that consulting space. What's that overlap like between these roles?
So it's a good question. So I think I want to kind of level on how, as someone who used to work in an SI, I've done a lot of years, and I know you have, but SIs become trusted partners, even GSIs, with the with the technical workings of any major organization worldwide, right? And when you look at their position in there, they are a trusted advisor holistically across the board, but their end goal is services. And so you might have consultants doing this forward deployed engineer, but they're not, their job is really delivering value, but it's also, you know, keeping the pulse of what's going on with the company. With an FDE, it feels like we're doing something very similar and we're going to cross over, but our goal is to expand the footprint of the said product, not necessarily services behind it. So when I read it, it almost felt like in the consulting, your enterprise architect would do this role, but it was literally to, you know, ensure that you were selling more services and, you know, keeping yourself relevant and sticky. Where on this side, it's that. So I see that there's a lot of crossover, but I'm curious if, the, you know, is there fighting? It's fighting with the SIs who are embedded with this customer and this FDEs who are coming in. Like, how is that relationship working? I think it's going to be dependent on each company and each SI or GSI who's in there.
Yeah, and this makes me wonder about the relationship between the vendor and the SI and GSI, and then the forward deploy engineer and the consultants. I bet you a lot of this to make this successful is probably human relationships and building partnerships, building human relationships. If the forward deploy engineer can make the SI or GSI successful or happy in there, they're probably more likely to have them around and recommend them more, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, the partnerships come into play, right? So if you think about it, if you are, you know, X, you know, software vendor, and you're working with, you know, some GSI or SI out there, you have a great partnership, and it's, you know, kind of establishing the rules of engagement, what you're doing, joint value proposition, where we're going to play, where you're going to play, and, you know, how do we deliver that? And I think that that's where the crossover is going to happen on that B2B partnership side, where the SI slash GSIs see the value, they understand it. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I haven't found this to be true, but I wouldn't be surprised if GSIs and SIs actually do some type of FTE for a product based on a partnership, right? And what I mean by that is that we're part, you know, we're an SI company and we're partnering with X, you know, vendor, and we're going to, you know, make this a focal point is because that's part of the partnership with that. So I haven't found that yet. I'm curious to see if that's happening. I wouldn't be surprised if it is, because it makes sense, especially because of the SI and GSI models, you know, basically on services and providing value for customers that way.
Okay. Now switching gears, I've got a totally different direction random question. All right, so I'm one of those people who has switched from working on one thing to another over the years. If you went back, you know, a couple decades ago and you looked at what I was working on, it's very different from what I'm doing now. And there's been a lot of different products and projects in between. Because after a while, things get into a steady state and I'm the natural engineer who likes solving problems. Well, with an FDE, right, if you're with a customer for a year, year and a half, well, that, and that's it. You move to something different. Well, you may be working with the same products. You keep landing in different environments where it's, you know, being deployed into, and you're trying to make it successful, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting quite a bit of change all the time. Have you thought much about what the experience is like being an FDE and switching gears in that way very often?
But that's the interesting point. I don't know how much these companies are moving FDEs around, right?
Okay.
And when you're into consulting, right? When I was in consulting, I've had customers love me and I've absolutely hated them, right? And it didn't matter. They wanted me there and I was there for life. And it was just one of those things that you, no matter how tired you got, we can't go without Robert. Life's going to end if he's not here. So I'm not sure about that. Now in GSIs, they're very good about moving people around. They're very good about not having a single point of the GSI is just, you know, Robert based in a company. They have models where they switch it around. So that doesn't happen, but in the smaller SIs that happens. I think with an FDE, they're going to want to keep that relationship because you know the pain points, you know all of this, you know it. Switching it just doesn't make sense, right? And you're kind of paid to, you know, for that success of that particular customer.
Okay. So with all this happening, and you know, it started with Palantir, there's some more companies, I assume, that are adopting this model. Mm-hmm. Does this look like it's a growth industry, steady state? Where do you see this in the whole job prospect area?
Okay. So again, somebody asked if I wanted to do it. I went on as research. I think it's going to be something saying it's going to have some staying power, whether it's called FDE or not, or it's called something else. I'm predicting, you know, mark the calendars. I'm predicting that you're going to see a lot more of this because it's bringing value to the customer on multiple fronts, but it's also bringing value to the company that's selling the software on the same front, right? Because you're preventing, you're growing from the inside, right? Which is very hard to do. You're able to deliver value within the customer. You're staying sticky. There's a lot of pluses for companies who try to put an FDE and embed that with some flagship customers.
Okay. Did you learn anything along the way about how you train up an FDE? So let me frame what I'm getting at here, though, because if they've got to know the product itself first, right, before they can go in and help implement it, but they've got to know how to implement it well. They've got to have some experience in implementing it in a company. You got a little chicken and an egg problem there.
Yeah, so I think from where, if you look at all, and I asked Grok to pull me, you know, job descriptions for FDEs and for multiple companies and tell me what's the same. And for what I was looking is that enterprise architect level is where I was seeing. So that's kind of like the starting point that they want. Someone who can go see an environment, understand what's going on, who's talking to what. But at the I guess this is an idea for another show, the difference between a solution architect and an enterprise architect, because at that enterprise architect level, they're looking at systems that tie all together, that what the whole business uses. And then on the other side of it, the solution goes down to, like, you know, I'm only on my stack. They need someone at that top level. And then there's going to obviously have to be training on top of the product itself. There's no way you're going to come in here and just understand, you know, some company's product off the back of your hand, you know, day one. So I'm assuming there's some level of training and then a mentorship program. I don't think that you're going to come in and be an FDE by yourself in a company, you know, right away. I think there has to be some level of mentorship. You know, so, you know, what's good look like, I could tell you, but it's easier if I just show you.
Okay, that makes sense. So with this model, would you generally say it's a happy working model that companies can employ?
I would say yes on both companies, right? From the software company that's trying to sell their software and make it sticky and grow, I think this is ability to hedge off your, you know, software just not being used and, you know, just not staying sticky within an organization. On the other side, you have a throat to choke if the software goes wrong. If something happens, there's somebody who's responsible. Guess what? He's right here and he's been with us for a long time. So I think there's success on both sides. And I also think with, you know, some great partnerings, GSIs and SIs could see this, you know, complementing their portfolios and the value that they're delivering for their customers as well.
All right. Makes sense. What else do you've got, Rob? So you've kind of flushed me of questions here. Companies are, you know, they're getting smart. They're looking at this. What other thoughts? What else did you learn along the way?
I think that this is a natural pivot for some people in the industry as AI is kind of changing some jobs and driving the demand down for some. I think the demand for this role is going to increase, whereas individuals going, hey, AI is, you know, kind of maybe redundant. They don't need as many of me, but I can go and do this job and go be successful because there's a human element to this that AI cannot replace. So where I'm saying is I think that there's an opportunity where the market is shifting, where those human skills can't really be replaced by AI. Well, at least not yet. I'm sure someone will figure this out in a month or two. But where these FDEs are, you know, being able to be sprout out from people who were consultants, people who were, you know, enterprise architects at bigger companies and, you know, want to move and try something new and exciting. I think there's an opportunity where this is growing in a field where it's contracting because there's, you know, there's a lot of change with AI. I think this one, because of the human factor, is it going to be a growing field going forward?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, programming as a job is actually going down, and something we can talk about in a future episode. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, that's going down. And so how do people shift around as industry changes? I think it's a really valuable thing to look at as different parts of software expand and contrast and have been for decades. So this is one of those things you're seeing expanding and an opportunity for people to step into as other things around them are shifting and maybe contracting or changing styles so radically, mm-hmm. something else they could walk into.
Exactly. So,
okay, cool.
So yes, I was honestly curious about this place, this set, since, you know, when you're asked about, hey, you want to go do this, you've never heard of it, and taking the deep dive. I mean, I was on a deep dive there for a while. It was a full internet journey with, you know, zeros and ones, the whole nine yards, late night trying to understand what this was. But it's a very interesting role. I see it's very compelling, and I do see it's going to be coming forward.
Yeah, you kind of got nerd sniped on this one.
Yes, I did.
Dig into it. Good. Cool. That's all the questions I've got. I feel a little bit more informed on it. It sounds interesting. In fact, the wheels are turning in my brain to see, are there places where this can be applied in what I do day in and day out and yeah. you know, who I get to influence on things. My wheels are turning. I actually, learning more about this, I really like it because it allows vendors, and of course, that's where I work right now as a vendor. It allows them to build better products. Because you have a better idea of what's going on and be stickier in your customers. Mm-hmm. And you're actually helping them, because that's one of the big things. I've never wanted to build stuff that's there because somebody has to use it. You want them to be successful because of it. You want them to like how you're helping them move the needle or move things forward or just make their life easier. That's always one of those things that I've generally appreciated. Mm-hmm. And so I think this actually helps with that. So it's got the wheels turning in my head. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. So that's my take on what an FDE is. So if you like the show, obviously hit like. If you got a comment, please put it in the comment box below and hit the subscribe button, and we'll see everyone else later.
Ooh, and one more thing. If what? Robert was dead wrong on something, please comment and let us know. We want to hear it. Or I want to hear it.
Please do.
Please teach us. Please inform us. So, yes.
Matt would love nothing more for you guys to comment on how I was wrong on something.
Hey, it's nice where somebody isn't telling me wrong. I'm wrong all the time. So, all right, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all. Bye.